Well, LSU wrapped up their first day of fall camp on Thursday. They'll head back out there today on Friday, and then they'll hit the field outside tomorrow on Saturday. But what were some of the biggest takeaways from day one of fall camp? We'll break down Brian Kelly's post-practice press conference on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And today's podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. I'm Caroline Fenton, and I'm your host, as I am every day. I graduated from LSU a few years ago, and I now host a sports talk radio show in Nashville, Tennessee for 102.5 The Game. But LSU football wrapped up day one of fall camp on Thursday, and Brian Kelly spoke to the media to kind of recap what he saw in camp. And admittedly, I'll be totally honest with y'all, I'm not able to make it to fall camp. I live in Nashville. Obviously, fall camp is not in Nashville. So I'm going to be doing my best, you know, kind of gather information from the wonderful people who are there and are covering the covering practices. But I'm really going to focus in on what Brian Kelly has to say, what the players have to say, with the media availabilities, what I'm able to take out of those. So I'm feeding you the most, you know, authentic information that I can gather. Just, you know, a little bit of a heads up. Just want to be completely transparent with y'all. But first practice, the vibe that I got from Brian Kelly, easy, you know, laid back, just trying to get back into the swing of things. I'm assuming just a lot of walkthroughs. That's what he mentioned, just easy. Let's get back into how to practice, how we're going to do things. That's my interpretation of how today is going to go as well, is, you know, a little bit lighter, a little bit easier. Let's get used to this new schedule. And then on Saturday, nose to the grindstone, they head outside and things will get popping on Saturday. A couple injury updates that Brian Kelly mentioned, just two players that are held back so far in practice. Jack Besh is dealing with some shin splints. Brian Kelly said he should be available soon, but he's limited now. DeMario Tolan is another one who's limited. He had a discectomy, which I had to Google. Honestly, I didn't know what that means. But it's taking out a portion of a disc in your spine or an entire disc itself, which sounds a little bit scary. But Brian Kelly said he should be able to be back soon, just is limited at the moment. So those are at least two positive things. You know, if you're going to look at who's unavailable, that's two things that should be healed quickly, and those two players should be back out on the practice field soon enough. But one thing, and Brian Kelly also mentioned too, a starting quarterback is not going to be named yesterday or today, and my assumption is that it's not going to be named anytime soon. I don't think that they want to divulge any more information than absolutely positively necessary, and that'll be about, you know, a little less than a month from now. That's just my prediction. That's my thought. I don't think that they want to jump to naming a starting quarterback in the middle of camp, or at least this early in camp, but they're going to have to before September 4th. So we'll keep an eye on that. But Brian Kelly did mention the quarterbacks, and I want to break down some of these open position groups coming up next. But one little tidbit that Brian Kelly dropped in his post-practice press conference was something that addressed a lot of, you know, questions that were raised by the media members who were at practice. That Trey Bradford, third-year running back, was not at practice. So Brian Kelly was asked about Trey Bradford, and this is what he said.
Yeah, Trey has been separated from the university, and that's, you know, there are Buckley, laws that I can't get into some specifics there. But he is no longer on the roster.
Okay, so not a lot of information there. I find that very strange that, you know, the words that he used, he was separated from the university. Now, I'm only going to use, you know, I'm going to put my detective hat on, and I'm only going to make my assumption for what that might mean. Trey Bradford not being in practice, I saw a bunch of tweets from media members saying that he was not there, and my first thought was, you know, maybe it's a medical thing. Is he injured? Is he, you know, does he have COVID? Is he just sick? Is he just not able to be out there? That was kind of my first thought. Of course, I didn't want to jump to conclusions that he had been, quote unquote, separated from the university. But when Brian Kelly said that, the first thing that came to my mind was there had to have been some sort of foul play somewhere, some sort of conduct issue. Not that it's not to my knowledge that Trey Bradford has ever been academically ineligible with the university, and it's August. Classes haven't started yet. You can't be academically ineligible before classes have even started. But this whole, you know, the whole relationship between Trey Bradford and LSU has given me whiplash over the past couple of years. Of course, he commits to LSU in 2020. And then the next year, he decides to transfer to Oklahoma. And then 2 months later, decides to come back to LSU. So it's been kind of a runaround here over the past couple of years with Trey Bradford. But I go back to, you know, in 2020, I believe it was right around Christmas Day, 2020, Trey Bradford was arrested for shoplifting from Walmart. And he was charged with a misdemeanor. And he explained it that it was just a miscommunication. I don't know exactly what it was. I can only report on the information that was reported or that was able to be reported. But when I first heard Brian Kelly say that, and this might be incorrect and this might just be an unfair assumption on my part, but this is just my interpretation of the situation. I can't believe it's an academic situation. It's not a health situation because you separated from the university. And he has a past of conduct issues or run-ins with the law. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was in the university, not necessarily a legal issue, but if there was some sort of, you know, LSU student code of conduct that he violated. I don't know how that works while classes aren't in session. I don't know if he was maybe taking summer classes, and I don't know what it meant. But I don't know. I mean, Brian Kelly's not going to tell us. I don't think we're ever going to find out. Unless the information wants to get out there. But that can only be my assumption of what is going on with Trey Bradford. Is it's either a code of conduct issue within the university or a legal conduct issue outside of the university that kind of manifested itself into being a violation of the student code. So I don't know. But I thought it was very strange, very odd that the way that all played out with Trey Bradford. But you know, just to take things back to the football field side of things, this running back room is pretty stacked for LSU. Of course, you know, losing Trey Bradford, he's a very talented player. You know, he hasn't been able to produce a ton throughout his career at LSU. You know, I don't believe that he's hit the triple-digit mark throughout his 2 years at LSU in rushing yards. But he's a talented player, and I hope he's okay. You know, just, you know, speaking as a human from the heart, I hope he's okay. I hope everything's fine, and I hope that he's able to continue his football career elsewhere. But again, this running back room is stacked. This running back room has enough players in it that can get in there and contribute right away. So coming from a football perspective, I think LSU will be just fine. But coming up next, some open spots that are open for competition in camp. Who is competing for what spot and in what position groups? Are there several players vying for that starting spot? Brian Kelly breaks it down coming up next. But before we do that, I'll tell you about Bet Online, because it is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. You can find your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. You can find reviews and news of every league. They've got Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. You could have bet on the Hall of Fame game last night, which is fun to watch football on TV on Thursday night. But BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports wagering information. They've got live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They've got you covered. So head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So first day of fall camp wrapped up yesterday, and I think the most fun thing for me going into this fall camp is how many spots are open. I know that that's kind of can be kind of an intimidating thing going into a football season as a fan, you know, not really knowing exactly what veteran is going to be in what spot, or, you know, things are kind of up in the air. It can be a little bit intimidating. It can be kind of nerve-wracking trying to predict, you know, how should I feel about my team this season? But I think that's going to be really fun to watch unfold in camp. So on yesterday's episode, we talked about some of the position groups that I was excited to look into, of position groups that I didn't think that there was a, you know, a certified starter. But Brian Kelly broke down the position groups that he's looking to fill and who is vying for those spots.
I think it's been answered by the way these questions have been posed as to whether it's the offensive line, which I said, I think, be patient, the quarterback position, the cornerback position. I think those three critical areas, right? You know, corners, offensive line, and quarterback. You know, a lot of good and bad things happen in those units, and there's questions that have to be answered. Now, I stand here in front of you feeling pretty good about the players that we've put together in a very short order that can go out and play at a high level in the SEC. But the fact of the matter remains, we got to figure out who those guys are. And so we're going to go through camp and you know, have to make some tough decisions and quite frankly, rely on evaluations in camp to do that. And that's a little bit different in my ears. Generally, we've had guys kind of, you know, everyone says the depth chart, it's always open, but, you know, you always have a guy penciled in somewhere. There's not a lot of penciling in yet. So, yes, to your questions, there's some work to be done.
So I don't think that's anything new to us. Of course, it might be a little bit unsettling hearing that, you know, hey, we don't even have guys even in, of course, there's guys in consideration, but we don't have that one guy to have in mind to say, okay, I think this is going to be our guy. I think this is going to be our starting corner, our starting left guard, or whatever that might be. But I also don't think that that's anything that we didn't already know. And I think that this is a unique situation that Brian Kelly finds himself in after coming from, you know, a stable program where he had established himself for quite a long period of time. You can only assume that you have a pretty consistent turnover from year to year, and you have consistent recruiting of year to year. So you have a good idea of who's coming in. If there's an open spot, you kind of have a good idea of who's going to take it. And this is a unique scenario that he finds himself in, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he navigates it, being a first-year head coach for the first time in, you know, 12-ish years. But I mentioned on yesterday's podcast some position groups that I thought were open for competition, and I think Brian Kelly in that soundbite just confirmed it for you. He's mentioned the corners, the offensive linemen, and the quarterback. I think we all kind of assumed that those would be position groups that would be open, but it was confirmed there. So let's start with the cornerback position. Brian Kelly was asked about Jerick Bernard Converse, how he's coming along since he's transferred in from Oklahoma State, and also who else is going to be taking the field in the backfield defensively.
Trying to gain some continuity at the cornerback position. So getting him back, getting him out here, he's been a great leader for us. And you know, we're anxious to see what he can do. You know, obviously had a great career at Oklahoma State. We expect that to continue here. I had a good summer. He's healthy. And he's played a lot of football. So the expectations are that he's going to impact what we do. But now I think the big thing here is to gain some continuity at that, you know, that position. And that's why we went into the transfer portal and feel very fortunate to have him.
And that's what they did. I mean, this cornerback group and the defensive back room as a whole is comprised a lot of transfer players. But he mentions Jerick Bernard Converse. He's healthy. He had a good summer. He has experience. I think those are all things that you look for, especially when you have a player coming in from the transfer portal. If you don't know a ton about him, hey, look, he's available. We've liked what we've seen from him so far. He's played a whole lot of college football in his day, so you can probably feel good about him. I would say that Jerick Bernard Converse, just based on what I've heard from Brian Kelly, they're looking to him to be in one of those starting corner roles. But he mentioned getting a little bit more consistency and stability at that corner position. I think if you can find a few guys that can go out there and be the same kind of thing, healthy and available and consistent and you know, showing their experience, I think that's all important. So corner's absolutely going to be a position group that I keep an eye on moving forward in camp. Jeppernaut Converse seems like an early front runner for winning a starting job. Does he maintain that role, or are there some come from behind guys that are going to start kind of nipping at his heels for competing for a starting job? Brian Kelly also mentioned the offensive line position being up for grabs. I don't think that's a surprise to us. I mean, you had over from last year, you had players coming in from the transfer portal. You've got kids that you recruited in coming in for their true freshman year, a la Will Campbell, left tackle. So here is what Brian Kelly had to say about the offensive line and how that competition is kind of heating up now that camp has started.
Brad and I were kind of, you know, having a conversation about it even during practice, because there's a lot of moving parts there with, you know, Dellinger's at guard. We want to see him at center a little bit. You saw Frazier at guard with Bradford, but, you know, Frazier could play tackle as well. And so we've paired them up on the right side because we think that they're interchangeable. You know, we like the fact that Bradford's got really good feet, but, you know, Frazier's got some length. So long story short, as it relates to the specifics of your question, those guys are, you're going to be center guard combinations right now. But I think it's important that there's some flexibility here for the first two and a half weeks. And we'll build, you know, the starting five. And then, you know, finding the rotation, you know, where you have, you know, your tackles solidified, the center position. And then I think we've got some really good depth, you know, that's building in this unit. But I think it's going to take a little while for it to kind of pan out over the next couple of weeks.
That's kind of how I expected this offensive line competition to go throughout this offseason, because you've got plenty of guys in the offensive line room that can be swing tackles. They can play guard. They can play the outside as well. So I think it's going to be a really interesting game of Tetris, like an interesting little puzzle of, okay, who do we want to be at those anchor positions in the center and on the outside as those tackle positions, and how do we fill in the rest of those guards? I think it's going to be interesting how that plays out. But I mentioned that on the last podcast. I said that I had a really hard time trying to pick my prediction for who would get that starting job eventually, just because, one, there are so many guys. There's a lot of guys with a lot of experience. There's some guys with not a lot of experience. There's one guy in there who has no college experience at all. But he's a really damn good player. So I think that's going to be an interesting part about the offensive line, is trying to figure out this puzzle and where each piece fits the best. But also mentioned the quarterback position. Already said, he's not going to name a starting quarterback. I didn't expect a starting quarterback to be named on the first day of camp. But Brian Kelly mentioned, you know, kind of how the quarterbacks have been preparing for fall camp. And he emphasized just why I think it's so important to have a quarterback competition or any sort of positional battle.
They're all anxious to prove what they can do. They want that opportunity. So, you know, they've prepared really hard, all of them. They're all in great shape. You know, their mental preparation, you can see it's so, you know, further along than it was now that they know the playbook. So I think they're all anxious to get out there and, you know, have the opportunities to showcase what they can do. And today, again, was much more of, you know, an understanding of, you know, the basic tenets of, you know, footwork and across the field progressions, those kinds of things. And you could see that they're already past that. They're ready to move to the next level,
which is a good thing. They're past the fundamentals and the footwork. They're ready to get in, start doing 7-on-7, start doing 11-on-11s, you know, start doing some 2-minute drills and actually get in there and show off what they can do. But I mentioned that such a good thing, why positional battles are such a good thing, because they all came into camp ready and eager to show off what they can do. And I don't think that there's any, you know, quarterback, especially in the SEC, that's going to show up to camp not ready, because in this league, you know, if you're not ready, someone else will be. But I think that there's a certain extra layer or next level of preparation and hard work that you put into something when the job isn't yours. And I think that's a great thing for LSU, because now they have 3 quarterbacks who are ready and eager and putting their head down and just grinding and showing off that they can, what they can do. And also understanding that if they do that, if they don't show up prepared, if they're not executing how they need to execute, well, you know, there's two other guys that are probably doing what they need to do and executing how they need to execute, so on and so forth. So I think that's what makes this such a good thing for LSU football. I know that we're all kind of frustrated, and I know that we all are just ready to have a quarterback name so we can kind of get a better idea of exactly what this team is going to look like in 2022. But I think overall, in the long run, we've got to be a little bit more patient, because overall, it's a good thing. This quarterback battle is a thing. But coming up next, there was a position group that I mentioned on the last pod that Brian Kelly didn't mention in his position groups that are up for grabs. What is it and why? I want to get into that coming up next after these words. Well, thank you for making Lockdown LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Kelly mentioned that the quarterback, the cornerback, and the offensive line positions are all kind of up in the air. Those are all going to be kind of positional battles in all positions that himself, you know, Brad Davis, Mike Denbrock, Matt House, that they're all, this whole coaching staff is going to be working together to figure out what is the best possible next step to fill in those open roster spots and fill in those open positions. Excuse me. One thing he didn't mention that I mentioned the other day was running back. So I said I had a hunch that it was going to be one thing rather than naming a starter already. And I thought that would be their approach to a running back by committee. Brian Kelly was asked about the running back room, and here's what he had to say.
Not yet. I mean, you know, they're all going to have a great chance, to contribute. You know, I really like the depth of the group. You know, you add, you know, Kane to that mix as well. And I think, you know, all of them have a chance to contribute, much like we saw in the spring game where we had a lot of guys contribute. I think that that's going to be probably what happens here this year. And I'm okay with that. I think that's great. I mean, I think all of them are very competitive and all bring a little bit something different to the table. But all will contribute in some fashion.
I think that was Brian Kelly's way of just telling you that that's their approach, is that it's going to be a running back by committee, without saying those words. And that's all just my interpretation, saying that they're all going to get a chance to contribute, a la the spring game when they had several running backs coming in and out and they were all getting reps. I think that's what you're going to see throughout the regular season. And I had a hunch about it. I told y'all about it on the last podcast, and I figured that's what it would be. And I mean, this is a take out Trey Bradford from the equation. Obviously, he's no longer on the roster. But you look at John Emery Jr., Noah Kane, Armani Goodwin, and several other younger guys that are coming in, that are in this running back room. I think that you're going to see, you know, this running back by committee being the best possible thing, especially in an offense that doesn't necessarily have its identity yet. I can't imagine that it's found its identity. You don't have a starting quarterback named. So that's the good thing about it, is that you are able to have a little bit more variety in the run game. And also, you got a stacked wide receiver room as well. You've got plenty of options of pass catchers. I mean, you've got several players that are vying for that second wide receiver spot on the side of Kayshon Boutte, who's going to be the slot receiver position. You know, the tight end position is kind of up in the air. And that's going to be another position group that I continue to focus on. You know, how does Nick Storrs look after coming off of, you know, medical retirement? How is this tight end room going to be able to be utilized by somebody, Brian Kelly and Mike Denbrock, who have shown that they can use the position very, very well? But I think that having some variety and having a few different guys that can contribute in the run game, that's a good thing. And I'm excited to see it, especially when you have a guy in John Emery Jr. who, you know, what was academically ineligible last year, so he's a year removed from being on the playing field. You have Noah Kane, who had limited snaps in his time at Penn State. You know, he was kind of in and off the field with injury. So neither of those two players have an exorbitant amount of college football experience. So, you know, kind of splitting up the duties there, I think, is going to be a fun thing for this offense. And, you know, that's one position battle that I thought would be a position battle, but now I think Brian Kelly is telling you that's not necessarily the case. Another subset of all of this is Brian Kelly is new and he's had very limited media availabilities. You know, you have SEC Media Days, his introductory press conference. He had a spring game press conference. I mean, I think I could count on my two hands the number of times that Brian Kelly has gotten in front of the media and answered questions. And that's just how he rolls. That's different from, you know, the maybe the past coaching staffs. But, you know, if that's what he has to do to just go out and recruit, I'd like to hear a little bit more from him. But, I mean, that's if that's going to be your thing, then go out and do your job. That's all I would ever ask him to do, is do your job. So I think I'm still learning Brian Kelly ease and Brian Kelly isms. I think that every coach has their own unique communicating. And I think every coach has their own way of not saying a lot, but actually not saying anything at all. So you kind of have to dig a little bit deeper to interpret exactly what they mean. And I've been doing that a lot of that today. I think I'm still learning, you know, how to take things that Brian Kelly says, how to interpret things that he says. I think we're all kind of learning, you know, what we can expect from his press conferences, how much information he's willing to divulge, and how much we're going to have to just interpret on our own. So I'm taking all of these things with a grain of salt, because everything I shared with you all today was pretty much just my interpretation of what he had to say, and just kind of based off of my assumptions and my beliefs and my predictions for the season. So we'll continue to, you know, to learn. We'll learn how Brian Kelly talks. We'll learn how to interpret what he has to say, and we'll also continue to follow camp, because they'll get back out there today. They'll be out there on Saturday. So we'll hear from some of the players tomorrow. So we'll have a full breakdown of that. Monday's podcast. But thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make your second listen Locked On SEC. Every day, host Chris Gordy and the local experts of Locked On take you across the SEC in 30 minutes. You can make Locked On SEC your second listen.